Hello, it is June 20th, 2010. I could have just said it's June 20th, and you probably could have guessed that it's 2010, but if you're traveling here from space, or you've just woken from a long, long coma, and the first thing you did was listen to this broadcast, then it might be helpful that I said 2010, just a little bit. It's Josh Holiday. Hello, it's the Josh Holiday Show. Aptly titled, I would say. What's happening on the show today? Well, I will have some comedy, as always, some stand-up comedy I'll play for you. We will talk about the oil spill in the Gulf. We will talk about Stephen Harper, the G20. And off the top, I'm going to play you an interview I did, would have been like 2 years ago now, with someone named Alana Clark. She is a singer-songwriter based in Alberta. And when I was out in Calgary, I was hosting a radio show, and for a week, I was one of the quote celebrity, unquote, not a celebrity, judges on this breakfast television contest they were doing. It was for, I think the maximum age, it was like a young talent show, so the maximum age was 16. And the person that blew everyone away by far was Alana Clark, who I guess for quite a while had been doing shows around Cochrane, which is a small-ish town about 40 minutes out of Calgary. In any case, she performed with an acoustic guitar, and it was great. And since that time, she's been working with some songwriters in Toronto, Christopher Ward for one, and has been here recording songs, and has a new album out, which has a bunch of new songs, but also has this song, the song she actually played for the show, the breakfast television show out in Calgary, and it's just a brilliant song. Now, on the album, it's all AC'd up, and there's more keyboards, and it's a more sort of filled out sound, but I really love the acoustic version that she did for her. She actually came by my radio show in Calgary after the contest and chatted her up, and she played a song live. So just her and a guitar and some microphones, very, very bare bones recording, but I think it's a great song. So I'm going to play that interview for you now, and at the end of the interview is the song as well. It's called The Bedroom Window. But I'll let the interview speak for itself, and yeah, so have a listen. In studio across from me is Alana Clark, all the way from just outside Cochrane. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Very good. So this morning, we had the finals for the Breakfast Television Spotlight, and you were selected as the champion. You were there last year, and you did okay, but this year you took the contest, and you did quite well. And I was quite amazed just in general, the amount of great talent there. But you did a great job. What's the scoop? Tell us about Alana Clark, because people maybe sort of may not know a lot about you. How long have you been singing?
I've been singing since I was two or three, before I can remember, and writing since I was about five. So
nice. And we talked a little bit about, you know, what you're going to do now. We'll plug the website. It's Alana Clark, Clark with an E. And Alana with two N's. People can go there. I'll put the link up on my blog later on.
Okay.
But you're doing more songwriting. You're actually going to Toronto in a little bit to do some more writing?
To do some co-writing.
And who are you doing that with?
Christopher Ward, and he wrote Black Velvet.
Alana Miles.
For Alana Miles,
and
yeah.
He for older people, he was on. He used to be one of the early Much Music VJs, Christopher Ward. And pretty well-known songwriter in the background now, but he does a lot of kind of cool songwriting.
Yeah.
So it's a great opportunity for you. We're going to get you to play the same song that you did this morning on Breakfast Television. Can you tell us a little bit about, well, first of all, the name of the song and then what it's all about?
It's called Bedroom Window, and it's basically about a relationship that I was in that I thought was awesome, but it really just wasn't, wasn't overall that great. So
it's a little bit autobiographical. Cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Of course. Well, you're home. I can see your bedroom light is on. Through your window and your once known that you're awake. And I loved the way you always told me I seemed young, but you told me I could be the one. I was so secure, but you were right, were right, were right. That I take and I take and I take. Like any other girl in love would hope. And every day I'm thinking I'm on top of the world. But that world was so small. 'Cause you were right, were right, were right. That I take and I take and I take, and I pretend, and I offend, and I pretend, here as I dress up my dolls, as I pretend, and I offend, and I pretend, as I dress up my dolls, well, you're home, home to me and all of my antidotes. Always wondering why my throat was so, so, and you're wrong. Yeah, sure, I'm selfish, but only as much as you are. 'Cause we both want everything for our own. 'Cause you were that I take and I take and I take.
That is awesome. I'm like all shivery.
Thank you. That's
really nice. That's so nice. And check out the website. It's Alanna Clark. I'll give it out again. Alanna and then Clark with an E. And you can check out the songs and stuff there. And make sure you come and visit us when you get more stuff. I have to keep tabs.
Okay.
I need to know what's happening. Alanna Clark, thanks for stopping by, and congratulations on your big win today.
Thank you.
There you go. That is Alanna Clark. And that was actually her very first radio interview. So, yay. And apparently her the new version of the song, it's finally been released as a single proper, and it's charting on the AC charts. So there you go. Kind of cool. All right. What will we talk about now? We will talk about, I guess we'll start off with the oil spill in the Gulf. And I've talked about this in the past, and it's, I think the thing that really hits home with me is seeing the animals in distress and imagining the animals you can't see and what they're going through. I actually just finally watched the movie The Cove about a week ago, and really, really heartbreaking movie. It's sort of like, it's really an emotionally draining film, but in a good way. I mean, it draws attention to something that is going on that's quite terrible, but all the while when I was watching it, I was thinking about the dolphins, because it really gives you insight into the intelligence and the social life of dolphins and the family life, and just what amazing creatures they are. And I think of the dolphins in the Gulf and what they're having to deal with the oil spill. And yeah, I just can't imagine how they're dealing with it, because a lot of the damage you don't see. You see the stuff along the coast, but there's a lot of stuff happening underwater, giant blobs of oil that's miles long under the surface of the water. It's just a huge, huge mess. And it's hard to figure out where to start when talking about the disaster. But I think the thing that's most frustrating is that this has energized Tea Party types and conservative types to be all angry at Obama, as if it was his fault that this is happening, and his fault that this isn't stopping right away. It's not his fault. You could, of course, can criticize his response to it, but I think he's done a reasonably good job at being on top of this in terms of trying to get some accountability out of BC. Bad British Columbia. What are you doing? Out of BP. But the thing that no one seems to mention on that side of the equation is the Dick Cheney factor, and how Dick Cheney was involved with pulling back the restrictions on all kinds of different energy policies and energy restrictions, and as a result, this kind of thing happens. And I think you're seeing the same thing. It's not in the media nearly as much, but with natural gas as well. There's different, in most cases, getting energy in the form of fossil fuels or oil or coal or any of the traditional energy methods. It is not a particularly friendly way to treat the environment. And so you got to look back at Dick Cheney, who removed a lot of the regulations that sort of made sure that everyone was operating in a very safe way, and, you know, as safe as you can be. It's always some amount of risk, but he was the architect of pulling back the regulations on the energy industry, and this is a result of that. Of course, you got to look at BP and corporate entities in general. They're not looking out for the interests of the people. They're looking out for the interests of the shareholders. It's all about the money, and they will, if they can cut corners, they will cut corners. And that's why you need more regulation. And of course, the conservatives and the Republicans want, what am I saying here? The conservatives and the Republicans are all about less government. But there's something to be said for governments having regulations over things that affect the people. And this is one of those things. And it's funny. I mean, people are also on Obama for not having solved everything in the world, all of America's problems. But you have to think about it in terms of how long he's been at it. It hasn't even been 2 years, and he's trying to fix 8 years of destruction. The 8 years that Bush was in office and Cheney was in office trying to fucking everything up, basically, with the war, with the environmental regulations, with religion, with just you name it, they fucked it up. And now Obama's the guy who has to try and clean it up. And of course, some of the stuff he does is going to be unpopular. And it's unfortunate, because that's what seems to happen, is he'll come in, clean everything up, everyone's not really happy because it's a tough process for those years that things get better, and then like, well, enough of that, and they bring in a Republican to screw things up again, and then once they take it to the limit of screwing up, then they bring in someone to tidy up, and yeah, it's a cycle. Anyway, so let's move from Cheney and Bush to someone who embodies both of those people, Stephen Harper. I did a rant about Stephen Harper. I guess it was in late December, I think, or early January, where I did almost a full show on Harper and the tons of things he's done to make the country a worse place. And question then, as I do now, why he's still our prime minister. And I think a lot of people do that too. And it's gotten to the point where has this arrogance about him. I think the one thing he said, he called there was talk of a coalition, which I think I think might or should happen, although I think Michael Ignatieff is still holding out for, I don't know what he's hoping to happen. All of a sudden, he's going to become a popular guy, and he'll ride that wave of popularity into office. I don't see that happening, though. That's the problem, is that a lot of people, I guess the majority, seem to know that Harper's not a good prime minister and he needs to go, but Ignatieff is not, he just doesn't seem to have the spark. He's an intellectual, he's a smart guy, but he's just lacking in, well, A, charisma, and B, he's not, he doesn't seem personable, and he doesn't seem like a dynamic guy that you want to lead your country. And then there's the NDP, Jack Layton. He's kind of charismatic, but he's got to get rid of the mustache at some point. Either one, I don't know if you want to be heading the country, but at this point, anything's better than Harper, and it's a weird situation because the Liberals still are ahead of NDP, but they're behind the Conservatives. So if an election was to happen today, we'd probably be in the same situation as before, where it's a Conservative minority government, and Harper would continue to ram his agenda down the throats of Canadians. So what I see happening is I think eventually there will be a coalition, because it's got to stop. There's just been thing after thing after thing where Harper is becoming Bush Light. And you know, even look at the Sun News Channel or whatever they're calling it, but it's basically Fox News North that they're trying to... Harper's not trying to push through. It's actually one of the guys who was in charge of his press in the past. They're trying to make a Fox News of the North, which I don't know. I think here in Canada, we there's not as many right-wing nut jobs, you know, extreme religious nut jobs, and I think there's more of an intelligence here as well, on a per capita basis, I'm going to say, because I don't want to tar everybody with the same brush in the United States, but there is a lot of... uneducated folk and people who are very, think in very black and white terms there. You're with us or you're against us, that type of thing. And they don't see a nuanced situation. It's not one, it's one or the other, not, well, let's see what we can work out. And Fox appeals to those types of people, and also appeals to people with lower incomes and less education, which is not a particularly attractive audience for advertisers. So I let it happen, sure, but I don't think it's going to be particularly successful. And you look at Sun TV, of all the people who are want to start a news network, I mean, they have the Sun newspaper, sort of the right-wing rag, but that's not a company that's known for its television news at all. And all of a sudden they want to be the TV news people. So I got off on a tangent here. We were talking about Harper and how he has to go. So I think what will happen, if it happened today, it'll probably happen in the near future as well, is there will be a minority Conservative government. And that can't continue to happen. So eventually there will probably have to be a coalition, because there doesn't seem to be anyone in the Liberal Party that could step out and sort of have a impact at all at this point. I think they're still trying to groom people within that party, and no one's really ready to take on the task of becoming the next prime minister. So it's a sticky situation. And it's a tough one, too, I think, for that party, too, because you have Ignatieff, who still wants to hold on and still, I guess, in his heart thinks he could be the guy. But it seems to be more and more clear that that's not going to happen, and he's not the guy. So there you go. And there's actually, I have it actually right here. You can hear the rustle of the papers, because it's an actual newspaper. A really good article, and it got circulated quite a bit amongst my friends and people I know yesterday. It was in the Toronto Star. James Travers is, I guess they're I don't know what you call him. he's an editorialist for the Toronto Star. And he did this rant. It's almost, I don't know how you would describe it. I'll read a little bit of it and then you can get an idea. But it pretty succinctly in one editorial sums up all that's wrong with what Harper's done to the country. And there's a basic formula to it. He says, imagine a country that blah, 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 talks about this and does this, a bad thing, and then says, that country is now this country. So, you know what? I'll read a bunch of these, and I'll use it as a jumping off point. Imagine a country that boasts about prudent financial management while blowing through a $13 billion surplus on the way to a $47 billion deficit. That country is now this country. And, you look, I mean, I think there is bound to be a deficit because of the economic crisis, though it didn't affect Canada nearly as much as it did our neighbors to the south. But there's been some spending that's suspect. You look at the G20, and that's probably the most recent example of misspent money. They've spent at least three times more than the most expensive G20 meetings to date. And they've had them in London and in the States. So I don't understand why it's cost three times more than the most expensive one today. I don't get it. Imagine a country where a political operative puts fork-tongued words in a top general's mouth. That country is now this country. That touches on the Afghanistan scandal that has caused two proroguings of the parliament. Imagine a country that refuses to fund the same safe abortions to poor women abroad as it provides at home. That country is now this country. And that's a really frustrating thing. Is Stephen Harper put on the agenda maternal and child health in third world nations, yet abortion isn't included in that. And you say what you will about abortion in North America, you know, it's a very, very hot topic, but in the third world, I believe it's 13% of all deaths are through pregnancy. I believe the figure is high, and I believe 13% was the figure, and that's crazy. And yeah, I just don't get it. And then along with that, he's also started to cut off funding to groups that don't really go along with his way of thinking. Imagine a country where the National Police Commissioner skews a federal election and is never forced to explain. That country is now this country. Imagine a country that writes a covert manual on sabotaging Commons committees. That country is now this country. Imagine a country dragging its climate change feet as the true north melts. That country is now this country. And you got to look at Stephen Harper's efforts to help the environment, and you can look, but there's nothing there. He's basically a follower waiting for the U.S. to take a step, and he is from Alberta, home of one of Canada's most devastating environmental, and you could call it a disaster, a man-made disaster, the oil sands. It's crazy what's happening out there without a ton of regulation. And Harper is a fairly pro-corporate. My mouth is tied up. He's a very pro-corporation type prime minister. And that also goes to tax cuts for corporations as well. His climate change effort has been feeble at best. Imagine a country that silences political debate on the sale of a publicly owned crown jewel corporation. That country is now this country. Imagine a country that puts higher priority on building super prisons than keeping people out of them. That country is now this country. Imagine a country where parties that win the most federal seats are dismissed as losers. That country is now this country. And that's what we were talking about before, where Harper's a minority government. The majority of the people in this country do not support him. Yet he acts like he's everybody's behind him and he'll do what the people want, which is a total misnomer. And to call everyone who didn't vote for you a loser, or people who support any other party a loser, is really offensive. Imagine a country that twists its foreign policy around the interests of another nation. That country is now this country. Talking about Harper sort of following the U.S., and especially when Bush was in office, he was a big follower. Imagine a country that argues that barricading its largest city promotes tourism. that country is now this country. Especially during the summits, even the U.S. had issued a travel advisory not to come here during the G20, which is the exact opposite of encouraging tourism. Imagine a country that promises Senate reform only to continue stuffing it with political hacks. That country is now this country. You see Stephen Harper appointing a few more senators in the last couple of months. Imagine a country that avoids answers about a controversial war by accusing questioners of supporting the enemy. That country is now this country. And that's such a Bush-Cheney-ism. Karl Rove, you can throw in there, too. Is you're questioning what's happening in Afghanistan? Well, you don't support our troops. Again, it's not a black and white issue. You can support the troops and be against the war. They're not mutually exclusive. Imagine a country where party apparatchiks decide who in a nominally free press is allowed to ask the prime minister questions. That country is now this country. Again, taking a page out of the Bush playbook and filtering the media's access to the prime minister and making him look good at the expense of him answering real questions. Imagine a country where donut shop wisdom is more prized than expert analysis. That country is now this country. And again, it's that bumpkin kind of like, well, this is that, not really being... I guess the eradication of intel... Not the eradication. Just the going towards a more reactionary than thought out type of government. I think that's what he's trying to say there. Imagine a country that builds a fake lake for a tough times summit. That country is now this country. Of course, we already talked about the enormous spending on the G20, $1 billion plus. And it's going to. They don't take into consideration the businesses around the G20 area that are going to be adversely affected and financially hurt by this. So the actual cost for Canadians is quite a bit higher than the $1 billion that's being bandied about. Imagine a country that preaches law and order while killing a long gun registry police chiefs insist makes citizens safer. That country is now this country. Imagine a country where serving the prime minister as chief propagandist is job preparation for running a national news network. That country is now this country. Of course, talking about the former press aide for Harper, Corey, what the fuck is his last name? Corey Ten. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. I think it's Tenneke or something. He is heading up Quebec War's efforts, the Sun, to start up a Fox-like news network here. Imagine a country where charities mute constructive criticism. Imagine a country where charities mute constructive criticism of public policy for fear of losing federal funding. That country is this country. And again, we talked about that before as well. People in different groups are worried that if they say the wrong thing or if they have the wrong message, that their funding will be removed. Imagine a country that can spend $1.2 billion for summit security but can't find the petty cash needed to invest in the status of woman. That country is now this country. Imagine a country that promises accountability only to impose secrecy. That country is now this country. And that's, the Harper government's been very secretive about particularly the Afghan scandal. But that's not the only thing. There's tons of stuff that they keep a tight lid on. That's the list. But that sums up a lot. I mean, I don't even think they talk about the proroguing in there of government and all kinds of other stuff that Harper's messed up on. But that's a lot of stuff that he's done in the past little while, and really more evidence that he's got to go. All right, well, how about some comedy? I'm gonna play some comedy now. Let's play something from Eugene Merman. He has a new album out, and here it is.
Please welcome to the stage Eugene Merman.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. It's great to be here. Or not. No, it is. It's a good time. This is a very fun place. Chicago is a wonderful city, probably. It is a little smoky. It's a little Lenny Bruce out here. 1962. Now to do all my dangerous shit that challenges the status quo. That's a real term. I stole it from debate when I did that in high school. Anyway, I was in an elevator because I have the money. And it was very small. It was like this big, and it was super crowded. And then this guy sarcastically goes, "There are probably bigger elevators than this in Russia." Probably. That's not one of the pre-agreed upon stereotypes of Russia. You can't just make up random information and say it sarcastically to replace actual information. You can't be like, "Oh, I went on a date with this Jewish girl. She was more rude than a wolf cat." An animal I made up and decided was rude. I was in a fish market, and there was a little boy behind the counter who had a bucket of fish, of live fish. And he took one out, and he put it in his mouth. And it was like wiggling, like, you know, wiggling in his mouth. And his mom, who seemed to own the place, turns around and goes, "What are you doing?" And then he, to my total surprise, points at me and goes, "He dared me to." And then she turns around and she's like, "Did you dare him to do that?" And I was like, "No, I didn't dare your stupid son. First of all, if I dared your son to do something, he'd be dead. I wouldn't have some, like, wimpy dare, like, read a short story quickly. Like, my dare would be like, eat a bag of fire. You know, it'd be like, build a time machine and jerk off in it and send it to Hitler. That's a dare. That's how you do a dare." I saw this story on ABC News that was about how people still listen to records, like how people still listen to vinyl, which isn't news. Like we all know that people still listen to records. But the reason I'm telling you what makes it amazing is that they kept throughout the story cutting to like 5, 6, 7-year-old children holding records confused. And they would just be like, "I don't know what this is. Is it a hat? I don't know." But that's not news. You can't, like, put a cat on a motorcycle and be like, "Cats still don't understand combustible engines. This stupid cat thinks this is a terrible couch. Back to you." That's how news works. I was in special ed for 6 years growing up. Yeah. From 6th to 12th grade, I was in special ed. And not, like, helmety special ed, like regular, like I'm terrible at school special ed. The reason they put me in special ed, like the way I got in it, was that in sixth grade I was supposed to do a book report, and I was like, "Yeah, I got a book report on a book." And then 3 weeks later I came to school dressed as Bill Cosby. And not in a sweater, like I saw him on TV dressed as a cowboy, and I was like, "I guess that's probably what he really wears." So I came to school dressed as Bill Cosby, as a cowboy, and then I lip-synced his stand-up for 5 minutes. And the teacher at the end was like, "You get an A+, but you have to see a doctor." That, sadly, is true. I was in Cape Cod in Massachusetts, and I went on a whale watch, which was really fun. There were all these, you know, it was a giant boat with two big open at levels. And then there were all these beautiful whales swimming about and playing games. They're playing Pictionary and stuff. Scrabulous. They're on Facebook. And it was really, you know, it was really beautiful. I'd never seen whales. But the whole time, I was just obsessed with the idea of coming up to tourists also on the boat. And just like in a hushed voice being like, "Do you have any condoms I could borrow?" That's all I kept thinking about while I'm witnessing this miracle of evolution And I always, my first thought whenever I walk into any place is like, what is the weirdest thing that's sort of just like off somehow? Like if I go into a supermarket with my girlfriend, I will very loudly just go like, I'm going to get some bananas. Are they called bananas here? Like I talk like this, but somehow I think maybe they're not called bananas.
That is comedy from Eugene Merman, and let me grab a CD. The new album is called God is a 12-year-old boy with Asperger's, and if you're not familiar with Eugene Merman, that's his second CD. Actually, I think he was the first comedian signed by Sub Pop Records, which is kind of cool, and he also has a book out as well, so he's a funny gentleman, and he's also, if you watch Flight of the Conchords, he plays Eugene, so there you go. It's Josh here, hi. You probably know that because you're specifically listening to this. But habits, old habits die hard. I should mention that I have a little home setup here for to record the show. I have two really good quality mics and a nice little board, and I use my computer and that type of thing. But I want to be able to record stuff outside. Not just outside, like, oh, I'm going to record the birds, make a nature recording. Not that type of thing, but be able to either on the street or I'm thinking specifically about the Fringe that's upcoming. I want to be able to interview people on the scene at the Fringe tent or elsewhere. So I've been futzing about playing around with my iPhone to try and find a microphone, an external microphone that will sound good. And it's a little bit tricky because it has to be small and it has to plug into the iPhone. It's not custom designed to be a clean sounding recording device. So I bought a little capsule mic that came in the mail last week. It wasn't very expensive. These things are under $20, but it wasn't very good. I tried it out at a little barbecue the other day, and the sound quality was Which is unfortunate because I was I think it's a funny because I'm kind of one of those guys who's not, I don't really like hipsters, or it's kind of a weird it's like two different poles. There's the douchebag contingent with the Ed Hardy and the frosted tips and the bad tribal tattoos and you know those guys. Fake tans, Jersey Shore types, and then the other end of the pendulum is the hipster types with the ironic mustaches and the toques and the plaid. So there's two kind of extremes. In the middle, there's some room to wiggle about, but in a lot of cases, on either end of the pole, it's people trying so hard to be something that it just comes off as kind of ridiculous. So anyway, there's... Sometimes it's fun because there's people who aren't necessarily hipsters, but they're more indie or more kind of stylish. So there's a girl at the party who I thought, okay, I'll play around. And I think the funniest question you can ask someone who is indie or in that realm is, are you a hipster? Because no one will ever say, yeah, actually I am. I'm a hipster. I think because it's become such a term of derision. But it's a fun question nonetheless. Anyway, this girl, Hannah, turned out to be actually quite nice and not a hipster. Just a stylish, kind of interesting person. There you go. Anyway, if you're listening, Hannah, hello. The recording was too sketchy, scratchy, too noisy to use here. But you did a good job. And we'll talk again. How about that? And we'll get your true thoughts. Yes. I'm warm. I had to turn the air conditioning off because it makes too much noise. See how concerned I am about the audio quality of this particular recording? I want it to sound nice and smooth and noiseless, and that's what happens. It gets hot as the air conditioner makes noise. I want to play, you know what? I'm going to play more comedy because I'm in that mood. The Alternative Comedy Festival... Sorry, not Alternative Comedy Festival. Just for Laughs Festival is happening in Montreal. And I used to go every single summer. I think it was like 14 different times from, I believe, the second festival on. And I kind of miss those trips. It was almost like summer camp for adults. I love the world of comedy. They've tried, Just for Laughs have, to expand the festivals to Toronto. And I think even Chicago this year they have a little Just for Laughs festival. But it's not the same. In Montreal, the festival takes over parts of the city, and it's a lot of industry there as well. Here it's more show for just people. There's not a lot of industry stuff or panels or that type of thing. But it's still good nonetheless. Went to the alternative comedy show they put on here last year, hosted by Sarah Silverman. And it was a really good show. Louis C.K. was on, David Cross, John Mulaney, who's a very funny writer. He has a CD out as well from Saturday Night Live. Who else was in that group? Todd Glass, classic. And there's got to be one more in there I'm missing. Oh, Arj Barker was also quite good. Have tickets for this year's already. This year is hosted by Andy Kindler, very funny gentleman. The headliner is Patton Oswalt, and so far Todd Barry is on the bill, and I imagine they'll add some more. So what I thought I'd do is play a bunch of comedy from some of those artists. So why don't we start with Patton Oswalt? Because he's awesome.
I'm so starving right now. I need something to eat. What's good to eat here at Kentucky Fried Chicken? I gotta have something in my belly. Oh, well, you know, people love our mashed potatoes. They're really good. And, our corn is really crunchy and sweet. They love that. And, we've got these breaded chicken strips. They're pretty good. And I gotta back up. If you're gonna get the mashed potatoes, you gotta get the gravy. The gravy is awesome. Okay, stop right there. Can you pile all of those items into a single bowl? Make like a brown gray mound out of it in a bowl, and I'll eat it with a spoon like I'm a death row prisoner on suicide watch. Can I just have my dinner that way? Yes, we can do that. We can also arrange that on a plate like you're an adult with self-respect and dignity. Fuck that shit. I'm done. I want just pile my food in a goddamn pile in a bowl. Can the bowl play Pink Floyd's Great Gig in the Sky while I eat it at 2 a.m. in my dark? Can you just make me that? By the way, those creepy fucking bowls are KFC's top-selling item in the history of their company. They cracked the code. America has spoken. Pile my food in a mound like I'm a fucking rescue mutt. I will eat it. Make me a fucking failure pile in a sadness bowl. That's what I want. That's what I want. If you could put my food in a blender and liquefy it and then put it into a caulking gun and inject it into my femoral artery, that'd be even better. But you know what? I know you don't have a lunch gun back there, so make me a failure pile in a goddamn sadness bowl. And hold the spoon. Let me get these cuffs on. I hate myself. I do a lot of punch-up now in movies. I get to do punch-up, and it's fun. You go in, and there's a script, and the script is written, and the movie has not been shot. And you and all your friends sit around a table, and you drink coffee, and you add jokes to it. And with a script, you can say, lose this scene, add this scene, lengthen this, this does, move this around, and you try to make the movie better. But this past year, I've done 7 punch-up sessions on these computer animated movies. And what they don't tell you is those movies are not in script form. Those movies are in movie form. They're done. They shot the thing on, you know, computers, but it's done. And so when you go in and say, okay, well, first off, you got to lose this opening scene. And they go, whoa, hold on. We spent $180 million on this. We're not changing shit. And then you say, why am I here again? And they say, we need you to think of funny off-screen voices that will be yelling jokes over the uninteresting, unfunny, depressing, shitty movie we shot. to make it a comedy. I didn't know you could make comedies that way. I didn't know you could take depressing footage, like Super 8 footage of a kid's birthday party, and he's like 8, and none of the other kids that he invited showed up. Now he's all alone in the kitchen with his little hat to the side and his lonely little cake. And it's awful. But then you have a voice going, I just fell on my bottom into some butterscotch. And you go, wow, someone that I can't see, nor will I ever see, just fell into some butterscotch on his hiney and is talking about it out loud the way nobody does. This is the greatest comedy I've ever seen in my life. Can you take Auschwitz footage and have, like, I haven't seen this many ribs since I was at Tony Roma's. Waggity smaggity doo. Or just show the Twin Towers collapsing and, like, 8th floor, men's shoes, 7th floor, lingerie. Waggity flabbity smell. I'm having a party you can't see. By the way, I loved how back in 2002, when we were, after 9/11, and it was horrible, and then we're gearing up to go to war with Iraq, and it felt like we were living in this very ominous alternate universe where it's like, oh my God, there's another Earth where, like, Gore got elected and the Twin Towers didn't fall and we're not going into this unnecessary war and things are okay. And I'm living in this horrible alternate world where Bush won, he shouldn't have, and then the towers fell and now we're going to this war. And it was very ominous and creepy. And now it's 2006 and I feel like I'm living in the same alternate universe, but now it's gotten kind of funny. It's like a goofy, badly written alternate universe where it's kind of amusing, you know? Where it's like, on our world, Arnold Schwarzenegger is governor, torture is legal, and spinach is poison. It's like, it's just fucking nuts. Like, wow. Now put your meat on your head and let's sing the national anthem. Torn between two lovers, feeling like a fool.
You guys on the MySpace, huh? I'm on the MySpace, why not? I'm only 43. Sometimes I'll get a MySpace friend request, I click on the profile, it says set to private. It's like, all right. 16-year-old Tommy from Louisville. Playing a little close to the vest. I have to approve your friend request in order to find out you think strawberry Pop-Tarts totally rule. It's the kind of secret you can't just share with anyone. Only someone willing to invest the time it takes to click their mouse once. Before never thinking about you again. I learned a lot reading those MySpace profiles. Like, for example, I didn't know that movie Donnie Darko was the greatest movie ever made. I mean, I remember seeing it and liking it, but I didn't know it was the absolute greatest movie. I have a website, it's got my email address on it, so now I get emails from all over the country. People ask unbelievable questions. They'd be like, Dear Todd, I'm going to see your show on Friday. Do you know how old you have to be to get into that club? I don't know, you want to maybe call the club with that one? Instead of writing directly to the artist? Do you think Mick Jagger gets emails like that? Dear Mick, I'm going to see you at Madison Square Garden next week. I'm going to have to leave straight from work. Not going to have time to get anything to eat. Do you know how much they charge for a hot dog? Also, I haven't been there in a while. Can you MapQuest me directions?
Mick Jagger from the Rolling Stones. Mick@rollingstones.com. Oh, man. Just gave out Mick Jagger's real email address. Oh, that was a mistake, man. He's going to be in his hotel room later. Keith, get over here. I just got a sudden influx of emails. From Cambridge. Oh, Massachusetts. How does that happen, Keith? Keith, I have another question. Why are we sharing a hotel room? We're both billionaires, Keith. This is... It's curious. It's curious, Keith, that we're sharing a hotel room when we're billionaires. We're not sweating it anymore, Keith. Keith. Some people really appreciate my accent work. No, I do accent work. Like if you go see like a Hugh Grant movie and like he's got a sore throat that day and just mouth his lines and I'll dub it in. No? Okay. You guys believe me, like, holy shit, that's a good gig. Sounds easy, no? You just dub in key. Oh, man. Good on you. Some people write me emails. They'd be like, Dear Todd, or whoever reads Todd's email. Oh, yeah, I got a guy doing that. I pay a college kid to read my emails for me. That'd be a good gig for a college kid, huh? After 3 days, a kid comes up to me, with all due respect, Mr. Barry, you get 7 emails a day. You're correct, and I've only gotten 6 today. Back to work. I went to college, University of Florida, yeah, all right. I said that recently, a guy in the audience goes, boo. I'm like, why are you booing, sir? He's like, Florida State, man. Oh, you went to a different school. Mystery solved. I love that mentality. Boo, you went to a different school than I did. I want everyone going to the same school. One school. 140 million students. Or I go boo. I am the least tolerant human being on earth. What'd you have for dinner tonight? Chinese food, I had Japanese. Boo. You like Triscuits, I prefer Wheat Thins. Boo. You like regular Starburst fruit chews, I like the tropical. Boo, motherfucker. I only have 700 more examples of this. You like curly fries, I like not waffle, steak fries. Boo. You're right, my heart wasn't into that last one. I wasn't passionate about that one. Like I was the Triscuit Sweet Thins one. Where I almost started crying.
The comedy stylings of Todd Barry. He will be in Toronto for the alternative comedy show. So far, hosted by Andy Kindler, Patton Oswalt, the headliner, Todd Barry, and I imagine they'll add some more. I hope. And that does it for this week's show. Thank you for tuning in. You can check out the website, joshholidayshow.com, 2 L's in holiday. Thank you, and we'll talk to you very soon. Have a good day.
Solo quería ganar. Get now. corazón y hasta que ella lo miró. Y extrañamente las cosas cambiaron, ya nada fue igual para él. La presa se convirtió en cazadora, el cazador se convirtió en presa. Conquista, ella gana esta conquista. Su destreza de mujer dominó todo su ser. Fue muy fácil la conquista. Ya nada fue igual para él. La presa se convirtió en cazadora, el cazador se convirtió en presa. Conquista.